not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And it's been an exciting week. There's all of the rumors. We have all of the rumors about the iPhone 6.
Yeah, didn't we think
debut, which is going to be September 9th?
Didn't we think, or maybe it was someplace else, that we're speculating would be early next year, because that's generally when Apple does stuff, right?
No, now it's September 9th, and it's firm. It is firm. People are already lining up at the stores, waiting to get the first iPhone 6 that's out there. I don't know that I'd want to have the first one.
No.
I like to have them work out the bugs. This has also been the week of iPhone photo hacks.
Yeah, really.
It's been in the news all over the place. I'll discuss how that might have been done. There's some speculation how it might have been done, and what changes Apple is making to the iCloud to protect people and protect their photos. This week we're going to feature a man who designed one of the first portable computers back in the early 80s, the K-Pro 2. That was the second portable computer. The first portable computer was the Osborne, but K-Pro outlived the Osborne.
Nobody's walking around with an Osborne, are they?
No, nobody's walking around with the Osborne. You know what happened to the Osborne,
no,
by the way?
No.
Osborne came out the year before the K-Pro, and when the K-Pro came out, Osborne announced that they were coming out with a new model. As soon as they did that, everybody quit buying the current model.
Oh, we talked about that in one.
I recall this. And within 6 months, Osborne was bankrupt.
Good grief.
So this is called the Osborne effect. That's why nobody ever says they're going to release a new model, because they're trying to avoid the Osborne effect.
That's pretty
funny.
And
allowed K-Pro to take over.
Well, how does this work with Apple then? Because we know when the new phone's coming out.
Yeah.
I guess the thing is, if it's something that people want.
Yeah, they don't actually. Actually, Apple tries not to talk about it too much, but.
Uh-huh.
But they're on sort of a release cycle. Then we're also going to review some of the technology in the Israeli Iron Dome.
Yeah.
See what that's going on there. And there have been, people have detected rogue telephone towers up that
really?
Are not owned by the phone company.
No kidding.
And there are literally dozens of these things around the country that people have discovered.
Huh.
And so the question is, who put them up and why? And of course, it was a huge, huge mailbag.
It was a giant mailbag last week. Huge, giant. That's the magic thing there.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
It bounced. It was sort of like a delayed bounce.
It was a delayed bounce. But Mr. Big Voice did finally get here by the time it bounced twice.
Mm-hmm.
We got an email from Led by Brain. She's a regular listener. Dear Doctor, I need a cure. I'm beginning to believe that my password management is inadequate. I tell you, I know a lot of people whose password management is inadequate. I know people who, this is an aside, who never want to change their password every 3 months like they're supposed to.
One of these people.
They make all their passwords identical, and they are a walking password disaster waiting to happen.
You're sitting next to one of them.
Okay. So Led by Brain said, please name some of the best password management applications and a few free ones that do a good job. A little overview on this topic is much appreciated. Thanks, Led by Brain. Well, Led by Brain, online merchants and other supposedly secure websites really can't be relied upon to keep your personal information safe, as we know. I mean, we've just had so many data breaches have just been going throughout the entire industry. And even sites with decent security have been compromised by the Heartbleed bug that was discovered earlier this year. So if you use the same password on all these sites and one of them happens to be hacked, you're in trouble. So you really need to use a different password on every site. And if you really want to be safe, you should change the password often, and the password should be long and complex so it can't be cracked. That means that you probably want a password manager because it's just too much to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Now, PC Magazine recently reviewed password managers. There are like 24, 25 of them out there. They looked at 24 of them. 10 of them made the top list. And the three that were the editor's choice on PC Magazine are really quite good. I like them. LastPass 3.0 was one of them. Then they have LastPass Premium, which is like the paid version that was an editor's choice. And then they have Dashline 3. These are the three units. So let's talk about each of these.
Okay.
Now, LastPass 3.0 imports passwords from over 30 other password programs. So if you're already on a password program, you want to switch to LastPass, you can just import your passwords immediately. Now, if you're starting from scratch, and you've let your browser remember all your passwords, you can import your passwords from your browser's cache, from your browser storage, from using either LastPass or Dashlane. And so LastPass 3, as well as Dashlane 3, they'll import the passwords, and then they'll delete them from the browser.
Hmm.
And then they'll turn off the browser's password management. I mean, that's actually pretty useful.
Yeah.
Now, all three of them support two-factor authentication. See, because now you've got one, and by the way, your passwords are stored on the cloud, so you can access them anywhere. You go to a friend's computer, your passwords are there. Now, that means you need two-factor authentication to protect the login. Now, and that's what actually Apple needed for the iCloud.
This is like what banks use, right? When you put in your password and then they have that second that shows you maybe a picture or something?
Yeah, no, that's not quite two.
Okay.
A two-factor, that's sort of a quasi. That's like a factor
really?
And a half.
Okay.
See, like a two-factor would be you log in with your password,
uh-huh.
and then it sends a code to your cell phone. And then you have to read the code from your cell phone and input that.
Ah.
So even if somebody has your password,
this is Comcast
they can't get in.
Like if you're trying to change your Comcast mm-hmm. password, they will do that. They'll send you something to your phone, and then you have to enter that code into the website.
That's two-factor authorization,
okay.
and
right.
that makes it much more difficult to steal your to hijack your account. Now they could send it to your cell phone. They could send you an email with your second factor. Some of them will actually allow the second factor to be a fingerprint scanner.
Huh.
So I'm actually thinking that they might let a fingerprint scan on, say, the iPhone suffice. So some of these units, so you definitely want to have two-factor authentication, and you want to put a very strong password on the, because now you've got one password that's protecting everything. And both LastPass and Dashlane have that. Now, you also want Dashlane and Passlane, LastPass, have another feature that's very nice. They detect if you change passwords. So suppose you're going to change your password. They'll detect it, and they'll store the new password automatically for you. So it's actually and also, if you're like filling out a form, it will remember all the stuff that you fill in on the form. So the next time you want to fill out a form, it will remember the data, and it will sort of help you automatically fill it out. It remembers all this data.
Mm-hmm.
And it will remember all kind of credentials that you might have, including driver's licenses, passport numbers, all sorts of other kinds of IDs. It's very convenient when you're filling out a form of personal data. So it's got more in it than just the password. Both of them have that. Now, the free edition of LastPass, this is LastPass 3.0, the free edition of LastPass has everything except for support of mobile devices. So if you want to support the mobile device, you want to be able to use the LastPass on the mobile device as well as on your computer, you have to pay $12 a year, a dollar a month. But if you're happy just using it for your computer, you don't need mobile support, the free version has everything.
Hmm.
So that's actually quite a good deal.
Sure.
Now, Dashlane is free for a single device. So you could Dashlane 3, you could have it free for a mobile device or free for your computer. But if you want to sync multiple devices, you have to pay. You have to use the paid edition. And the LastPass Premium costs $1 a month, too. So that's, so those are actually both very good options, and they both have a free option as well as a paid option if you want to go. So that's LastPass 3 and Dashlane 3. And these things also give you the, both of them will give you a security report where they'll analyze the strength of all your passwords. You'll rate your passwords. They'll also report any duplicate passwords so that you, you know, you can get rid of all the duplicates. And so the nice thing is once you've got this system in place, you can change your passwords frequently, which is a good idea. It automatically remembers them. Mm-hmm. And it, I think it leads to a very good password management system, even for people who can't remember complicated passwords. So that was a great email from Led by a Brain. We got an email from Arnie in Crownsville, Maryland. Hi, Dr. Schertz. I'd like to know how Pulse Point works. It's a free app for anyone knowing CPR, and it's good for those like, it's good for firemen, it's good for EMT, firemen, police officers, and others to give assistance to people having heart attacks. Now, how does one getting this app get the signal that's that lets them know that there's somebody in the area that's getting a heart attack? What's, how does it actually work? I'm kind of confused. Oh, and by the way, here's another article about Tor. This is this the Onion router. This is this this is a browser that allows you to surf the web anonymously. And they have a they had a story here. They mentioned in this article about Tor, the godfather of anonymity, which is David Chom. If we haven't reviewed him, you may want to do it in a future show. I looked at David Chom. He's an interesting guy. I think I'll use him on a future Profile in IT. So that was a great suggestion, Arnie. Now, let's go back to this Pulse Point. I'll talk a little bit about Pulse Point because it is a great application. It's a location-aware phone application that allows everyday citizens to provide life assistance to people who have sudden cardiac arrests. So what happens is that notification is made simultaneously to dispatch the paramedics to someone who is having a problem, and then it notifies individuals through this application, individuals who are within walking distance of where the heart attack occurred and who are willing to provide CPR, and it gives them a map location of how to get there. It also gives them a map location of where the nearest defibrillators are, these AED devices. Mm-hmm. Now, there have been a lot of cases where people have really saved their – this has really saved people's lives. But the local – the local jurisdiction has to sign up for it because these this application, which you can download for either an iPhone or for an Android phone, is synced to the local emergency dispatchers. And so what happens is that if a heart attack is reported in a public location, this will automatically see it, the location of anybody with that application within walking distance, and it sends them an alert, and there's a special tone. And there have just been cases where people could get there faster than the ambulance, mm-hmm. and it saved lives.
Wow.
So there are currently 500 cities in 17 states that are using it as of September 14th. I couldn't find any local jurisdictions using it, but we might check on that.
I was going to check on that right now.
Why don't you check on that? Now, the jurisdictions have to pay a licensing fee between $5,000 and $25,000, depending on their size. And it caps at $25,000 for the very largest of cities. But it is a great application of cell phone technology that actually could make a real difference. So that was a great letter, Arnie. And I sort of did like learning about that application. I'd never heard about it before, but it's a very nice location-specific application. We got an email from Lauren in Bethesda. Dear Dr. Schertz, I'm a big fan of your program and listen regularly. I have a challenge and need some insights. I'm between jobs because I was laid off from my last business analyst position a few days ago. I've been contacted by a recruiter asking if I'm a certified Google Analytics person. Regrettably, I'm not. She said she had a wonderful job, but you have to do stuff for the employer, and they want a Google Analytics certification. I wanted to learn how much prep was required to realistically pass a certification exam. I've never used Google Analytics, and I need a realistic game plan on mastering this. I'm also looking at getting a Google AdWords certification. Thanks, Lauren. Well, here's the thing. There are some excellent online resources. So you can look up certified Google Analytics, or you can look up certified Google AdWords. And on the Google site themselves, they have a whole section with online courses. And it is really quite complete. And they've got videos and everything. I'll tell you, if you were going to do that, that's where I would go first. There's also an excellent blog that I found, veget.com, and it's and I'll give you the full link to it. It's a fairly complicated link. And this guy just recently got a Google Analytics certification, and he went through all the process. Now, here's the key. If you're going to do any kind of certification, I just don't believe in like studying for the tests. You've got to actually apply it. So I would suggest that you set up your own web page. And you practice these concepts because you have to put the code at the bottom of the page. You got to register it with Google and go around and play around with it. So I've used a lot of Google Analytics, and I just taught myself by playing around with the web page and inserting stuff in there. And see, it could be a really simple web page. Now, if you have a friend that has a website, a personal website, and they don't mind, you know, letting you muck around with it, you could practice on theirs too, on their site too. But the process of actually applying the stuff is what's going to really lock the information in. So you have to apply the information.
Do you know CPR? Could you?
Oops, sorry. Yeah, I'm on the pulse port.
Yeah. So you just can't memorize a bunch of test questions. But I think this is a great area to get into because Google AdWords and Google Analytics are used extensively as businesses try to optimize the traffic and the number of leads they're getting from their website. So it's a great, great thing to go for. That was a very nice letter, and best of luck with your new career search. And there we go. We love all your emails. Just email us at techtalk@stratford.edu, and we'll get back to you at the next show, or I even may send you a response directly.
If you're really special.
If you're really
but
special.
They're all, everyone's really
yes,
special.
Yes, that's right.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio, Saturday morning on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM, HD2. Stand by. More of Tech Talk coming up right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University Innovative Approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn-by-doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Mr. Big Voice, you're supposed to do that from this room.
Yeah.
Not the next room.
Not the next room.
Yeah.
He was off getting some of that, you know, the powdered coffee creamers.
Powdered coffee.
It's very important that he has that.
And that's that donut. He's going for the donuts, too.
He puts the powdered coffee creamer on the donuts.
Yes, yes. Today, we're going to feature Andrew Francis Kay.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Francis Kay was the founder and CEO of Kay Computers, the manufacturer of Kay Pro 2, the first portable computer, one of the first portable computers. I said the Osborne was first. This was actually the second. He was born Andrew Francis Kopishiansky.
You know what? Let's call in an expert, shall
Kopishiansky.
We?
Yeah, would you let's go.
How will we pronounce that now?
Kopishiansky.
Kopishiansky.
Oh, thank you.
Kopishiansky.
There we go. That settles that.
Yeah, that's right. You know. why can't Mr. Big Voice do that for us?
It's all she's not union.
Oh, that's it.
He is.
That's it. So Andrew Francis Kopishiansky.
Kopishiansky.
Yeah, was born January 22nd, 1919 in Akron, Ohio. His parents were actually born in Russia. They were Russian. He spoke Russian at home. In 1940, you know, he graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering from MIT in Boston. His family really scraped together. They sent him to MIT, very expensive. They invested in that. And he graduated in 1940, and he began his career at Bendix.
Yep.
Then after Bendix, he moved to California in 1949, and he began working at Jet Propulsion Lab, where he was involved with the Redstone rocket program. Now, because people had trouble pronouncing his last name, they called him Danny K, just K, period. So pretty soon, you know, they said, you know. So he just changed his name to K-A-Y.
Why not?
So then he'd be called Andrew K, because that's what they called him anyway. And so the whole family changed the name to K-A-Y. And so he now was officially Andrew of Francis, as his mother called him, K. Now, In 1952, he founded a company called the Nonlinear Systems Company, NLS, and they manufactured digital instrumentation. Now, NLS developed a reputation for providing rugged, durable equipment for critical applications for military and space. Now, as part, you know, he developed this digital instrumentation company after he had invented the digital voltmeter, which was like revolutionary back in the early 50s.
Sure.
Because this concept involved analog to digital conversion. It involved digital electronics. And it actually began the digital revolution, because these were the first digital equipment that was actually produced. Now, he also did something else that was very innovative in how he produced his digital equipment. He revolutionized the high-technology, high-value product manufacturing by migrating away from the traditional assembly line, where everybody was just a cog in a machine, and he moved it into groups of what he called autonomous teams, where the autonomous teams would assemble it in their own way, and they would have complete control over quality, pace, and everything. And by organizing it around autonomous teams, he was able to boost quality and boost productivity, and he gave his employees a sense of ownership because each team produced the entire device. So instead of you just being in charge of putting in five screws, your team was in charge of the whole device, so they had a real sense of ownership and pride. The psychologist Abraham Maslow, you've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Of course.
He studied human motivation. He spent a summer with Kay observing his techniques. Maslow later wrote a book on the topic and gave Kay credit for contributing to his theory. So he was actually quite an expert at managing people. And he did that in that production line. I think he's not given proper credit for those contributions. Now, NLS originally grew on the strength of military and space industry contracts. But after the Apollo space program ended in the early 70s, he lost a lot of his contracts, and the company began losing money. Around that same time, Mr. K, as he is now called, observed his son-in-law having trouble with a bulky Apple II computer because it had a separate monitor. And you remember the Apple II. It was
right.
Kind of a...
Yes.
He had the case, and then the monitor would sit on top of it. And it occurred to him that you should make an all-in-one machine to make it portable.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1982, he founded the K-Pro Corporation and released a portable computer called the K-Pro II at the West Coast Computer Fair in San Francisco. Now, in 1981, Osborne, the Osborne computer, the year before had been released at the West Coast Computer Fair, and everybody just loved the Osborne. It sold for $1,795. Then in 1982, K-Pro showed up, and he outdid Osborne. He had more features than Osborne. It was, you know. Now, both of these machines were called luggables. You know,
yes,
they're luggables. Yes. They actually were about the size of a sewing machine.
I'm looking at them.
So you really couldn't call them portables. They were luggables. I mean, the K-Pro 2 weighed 29 pounds and cost $1,795. The Osborne computer was his chief rival. So Mr. Osborne immediately said, okay, I'm going to compete with K-Pro. I'm just going to knock their socks off. And so then at that fair, he said, I want everybody to know that we've got a new Osborne machine coming out of the port very quickly, and we are going to knock the socks off of K-Pro.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately, nobody bought any Osborne machines. They're waiting for
They just went and got the K-Pro.
Well, or else they just waited for the next Osborne.
Uh-huh.
Within 6 months, Osborne was bankrupt.
Jeez.
That was the famous Osborne effect.
Which of these two computers do you think was better, the K-Pro or the Osborne?
The K-Pro had more features because they sort of – he saw the Osborne first, and so he just one-upped them.
Uh-huh. Well, if you look at this thing, I've got Google Pictures up. It's a box.
And the K-Pro had a bigger screen.
Yeah.
The Osborne had a 5-inch screen. I think the K-Pro had like a 12-inch screen.
But it's like a little tiny tube-type mm-hmm. TV set screen. On both of these things, the lid flips down, becomes your keyboard, mm-hmm. and it's really funny to see you have the screen on the left side, and then several ports where you can slide in the old floppy disks.
Yes.
It's something else.
It's probably the green screen back.
Yes, exactly. It's exactly what it is.
It's the green screen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was $1,700, which was considered really a great sales price. Now, here's the thing. Both the Osborne 1 and the K-Pro 2, see, the funny thing is, K-Pro, I don't think, ever had a 1, and Osborne never had a 2.
That's funny.
So they both ran CPM, which was another operating system, mm-hmm. not Microsoft DOS. So they ran CPM, which is a different operating system. And that was actually their Achilles heel because the world adopted the IBM PC and everybody wanted an IBM compatible. All the software was developed for IBM compatible. K-Pro couldn't run any of the IBM software, and that was, in the end, their Achilles heel. Now, K-Pro initially focused on selling to independent electronics stores, and he saw source sale to over $120 million in just 2 years. Then the company went public.
Mm-hmm.
So by the mid-1980s, it was the third largest seller behind Apple and IBM. K-Pro employed at its peak around 700 people. Now, the company never successfully made a transition to the IBM-compatible world. It filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 1990 because nobody's going to buy a K-Pro at that point.
No.
K-Pro was not able to emerge from bankruptcy, and its assets were liquidated in 92. Andrew Kay died August 28th, 2014, which is why we're featuring him now, just last week,
mm-hmm.
in Vista, California. He was 95 years old and one of the computer pioneers.
And I have one of the ads up here for the K-Pro, and the headline is, "Aren't you glad you waited?"
Aren't you glad you waited and didn't get an Osborne? That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Why? We have something.
Party don't start till I walk in.
Okay, we're sorry, David.
David Burke.
Don't stop. Wow. That's good stuff. Hey, Doc, I
know you're really excited about the K-Pro.
I didn't want to interrupt your, what do you call that, a testimonial? What is that?
That was Profiles in IT, dude.
Profiles in IT.
Mm-hmm. IT because
that's an integral part of our program.
So the thing is, did you ever own a K-Pro computer, Dave?
No, I did not. No, I did not.
Did you own an Osborne?
I owned the Atari 2, which had
its own. Oh, you were more
excuse me, the Atari 800, which had the cassette database. Remember that?
Okay.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Come on, Doc, don't play stupid with me. You had one of those. Come on, you did.
Oh, I never played any games,
Dave. No, it's not for game playing.
No, he was all business.
It was all business.
Right.
Hey, Doc, quickly, because I'm on a short leash this morning.
Oh, sorry to get in your way.
Sorry to get in your way. Your show. Sorry about that. Yeah, your guest comes in making demands.
That's right.
Now, the iPhone 6. Did you guys talk about this last week?
No.
Why the iPhone 6
is going to be... We're getting to it.
The iPhone 6,
see, this is called... You have to...
It's
audience retention.
It is psychic.
You don't lead with that.
There's a lot to talk about, but the focus I want is now that they're claiming that Apple has done all these deals with Amex and boom, boom, boom.
This is the deal, yeah.
And the phone is going to be kind of like everything. Your credit card, your money, everything's right
in
your phone.
So what could go wrong? What they're thinking...
Well, see the iCloud.
Yeah, I got your cloud.
So what they've put in the iPhone 6 is near-field communication, NFC.
Okay, break that down to us mortals. What
it's basically,
mean?
You put your device within 6 inches of something else, and it can communicate.
Oh.
So you basically can take your iPhone, put it near some scanner, and this thing will scan it, and it will transfer your credit card data.
I don't think I like this.
iPhone directly to the device.
We're not doing that.
Nah. Now, but here's
I just bought a new Lexus.
So Apple already has a wallet, which if you ever bought anything on iTunes, you're using the Apple Wallet already. You're already using the Apple Wallet, and you put a credit card in there. Chances are you don't even remember which credit card it is. It's not until it expires.
I have to pop up and put the password in for the credit card to work.
Right.
For the credit card to work. And see, what I think they should do, I think you do need this two-factor authorization. So you put the thing up close, and then you've got to put in a code before any money transfers.
Oh.
So if somebody just steals your phone, they can't use it. And that was what I was worried about. And since the iPhone has the fingerprint thing, I would suggest that you use the fingerprint thing.
Oh, you would suggest that?
Yeah, I would suggest that. Now, I don't know what...
Because nobody
can hack
your thumbprint.
I actually don't know whether...
Just cut your thumb off and take it with them.
It doesn't work.
Because it needs to be a warm thumb.
It needs to be a hot thumb.
It needs to be a hot thumb.
Hey,
wait a minute.
I can hear the commercial. We've got hot thumb technology. That's good stuff, Doc.
So the thing is, you'll put in like all your credit cards in here in your phone. You put that close and you just touch it. Because the thing is right now,
Jimbo and I don't look real happy about it.
Okay, suppose you lose your wallet, somebody gets your credit card.
Yeah.
Is there any two-factor authorization for somebody using your credit card at a gas pump?
Because those clerks don't even look at the card.
There is nothing.
Nothing.
And in the U.S., we've got that magnetic strip on the back, which can be hacked. It's just, there's no RFID chip like they have in Europe. In Europe, they got the little RFID chips.
Okay, Captain Apple, just hold on for a second.
So I'm thinking that the current credit card technology is just ripe to be put out of business.
No, but let me say something. They have not innovated. They need to solve the cloud problem, what I understand. Because all of a sudden, everybody in Hollywood who were naked had naked pictures. Now, because something happened in the cloud and people are getting their pictures, help me out here. What's that mean?
Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Well, he's on a short leash today. I'm tying that into the credit card thing, because if they're having a problem with their cloud, I'm not getting involved with that. No, not until we figure out what's going on. Right. Excuse me, Jim. I agree, David. I'm hearing crickets.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm supposed to back you up?
Well, no, I thought you were.
He pays my.
He's paying for lunch.
Here is the deal. I believe that they've been waiting for sort of critical mass on this electronic payment system.
Right.
Because the Android phones have had near field communication for a couple of years,
right?
But not enough people were using the payment, so nobody adopted it. Now that Apple has adopted it, it's got credibility.
It's like HD radio,
even with the cloud problem.
Yeah, I think it's. Remember, in the beginning, nobody wanted to buy things online.
Can we talk about the stupid cloud? It's not a cloud. It's a phone wire buried somewhere, and they call it a cloud. Am I correct?
It's actually not doing everything.
Don't do the Wizard of Oz story with us, Doc. Come on.
Okay,
Here's what, let me explain how the iCloud got hacked.
Let me explain what happened. They were going after specific people, and there are two ways they could have done it. One way is to just social engineer the accounts. You see, you could reset the password, and then it gives you two challenge questions like,
What's your dog's name?
Like, where were you born? What was your dog? Well, see, for these stars who just have everything on Wikipedia, you can find that stuff. Look up those two questions.
Right.
And so the problem is that Apple did not have a two-factor authorization for that. They should have sent a text message to the person's cell phone with a number.
And for that lack of detail, we get to see Betty White naked now.
Yeah,
we didn't see Betty White naked.
Now there was also a second flaw that was found. Now this was actually a programming error on the part of the cloud.
This never happened
because they have this Find My Phone feature.
Right.
So it turns out the Find My Phone feature, you have to log into the cloud to use Find My Phone. But the way they set up the software, you could keep guessing the password over and over again.
So after three times, they don't cut you off.
No,
you could go on forever. And it turned out that there was a program called iBrute. And it was released. It was talked about on Reddit, iBrute. And the day before these pictures were released, they said, oh, by the way, iBrute can be used to hack Find My Phone.
Oh, boy.
And that was on all of the logs.
So that's how they got in.
So they got into these stars' pictures that were in their phones.
So it's a combination of iBrute plus this social engineering where they just guess the two passwords. So
am I so glad I only have dog pictures on my phone? That's all I have.
Naked dog pictures.
Well, of course. I mean, now, I don't buy clothes for my dog.
Now here was the problem with these guys in the iCloud. So they took some, say, naked picture with their iPhone.
Right.
And then they deleted
a selfie. Yeah.
A selfie. And then they deleted it.
They thought it was deleted.
Yeah. But the problem is, it's uploaded to the iPhone or to the iCloud.
So if you didn't take it off the cloud, it's still on the cloud. It may not be on your phone.
It is still on the cloud. Ooh. And so you've got My Photo Stream.
Right.
It's uploaded to My Photo Stream. And so you delete it from your phone, and it's still on the iCloud. So a lot of these pictures, they thought they deleted.
So you got to knock it off both, really.
So you've got to basically delete it from My Photo Stream as well as from my.
That's incredible.
You know, so that's what happened. So they thought they had deleted them in many cases. So,
are you doing selfies yet, Doc?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Oh, really?
That's the day before the world ends.
Here we go. That's right. That'll be. You know, it's going to be a good long while. It is going to be a good long while.
Have been warned.
So Apple has announced that they are going to fix this one programming error in Find My Phone. They've also announced that if anyone is trying to change the password, they're going to send out a push notification to the owner of the account. It'll be a push notification.
It's not trying to hack your deal.
Yeah. Or else, the other thing that happened, like if you log on with a different device and you synchronize it, it just downloads everything. Mm. So once these guys logged onto the account, they just put in sync. Everything went down, including text messages.
Wow. Everything
in the iPhone backup was just downloaded.
They basically cloned the phone, right?
And the thing is, Apple, if somebody logs on to an iCloud account and syncs up to a new device and downloads everything, Apple does not notify you of that event.
Wow.
So now they're setting up a push notification to notify you of any of that sort of activity. But what they haven't said they're going to do is two-factor authorization, which means you put in, even if you have the password, right, it sends you a text message with a little code, and then you've got to put that code in. If you had two-factor authorization, you couldn't hack these phones. You couldn't hack these accounts.
Doc, why are they not on the phone with you right now?
I don't know why they're not doing two-factor authorization. Mr. Cook. Mr. Cook, I know he listens to Tech Talk. Mr. Cook, we want two-factor authorization on the iCloud. Or I'm telling you, your near-field communication and credit card stuff is going nowhere.
Okay,
nowhere.
So let me ask you this, because to the unwashed masses like myself, I told you because Comcast does this. When you're trying to change your password on Comcast, like if you have the app for your iPad
you get two
or something,
times.
You have to do, they send you the push.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was a pain in the neck. Now that I understand
it's
what
extremely
it is,
important.
What I now that I know how important this is, I get it. But most people probably don't get that and think this is a waste of their time, right?
It seems like a you know. By the way, you can sign up. You can on Gmail. You can set it up for two-factor authorization. It's a choice.
No
you
kidding.
Go into the setup and you can ask for that.
Done.
That's a done deal.
Yeah.
Are those the new headphones you're wearing?
Yeah. Those you like those? Lovely. They're not the kitchen sponges they used to
have.
No,
they're not.
They sort of look Apple-ish, don't they?
They look very Apple-ish.
They're Bose.
Oh, Bose. Excuse me.
Wow. Yeah. Bose.
Bring my wallet.
I'm a professional.
Yeah, you are a professional. Hey, Doc, I have to leave now, but thanks for answering most of my questions because
okay.
I was concerned.
Well,
about
we're glad
that.
You came by.
It was good to see you guys.
I hope you didn't look at any of those pictures that
no,
were
I didn't.
Out there. No, I didn't either. I stayed away from that completely.
Probably a good idea.
Imagine the poor fool that cracked into the Kardashian phone.
Oh,
his phone's still downloading. Oh man, what's
downloading
this kind of
and his eyes
you know,
are on
by
fire.
By the way, the guy the guy who got these pictures, he uploaded them to this site called 4chan, the number 4chan, where they've got all sorts of
stuff.
Things that you really shouldn't be looking at there. It's where there's a lot of hackers that go there. Well, he left kind of a trail.
I'll bet he
because
did.
He actually the name on his computer was revealed. So actually this guy they're gonna track down. There was also quite a bit of bragging on the blogs. Hey, look what I did. So now it's not just one person, but they're on the trail of these guys. And it is possible that they could get 10 years for this.
Wow.
Because it's like computer hacking.
Of course.
And in the one case, the one girl who was, she was an athlete, the pictures were from when she was younger than 18.
So then it's kiddie porn.
Wow. And so these guys could pull in a lot of years over this. So it was really not a bright thing to do.
Thank you, Doc. Do you have my exit music?
Yeah, okay.
There is none.
Today we picked this.
So I got to slime out the room.
Yeah, that's
okay. Right. Well, slime out the door. David, nice to see you. This is Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. Stand by. More coming up right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment. Change your life. Put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Masters in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Change your life. Take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0404. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Welcome back to the classroom of the airways. And, of course, if there's a classroom, there's going to be an assessment. In this case, it's a pop quiz.
Yes.
If you get the right answer to the pop quiz, you'll win two tickets to fine dining to the Escoffier Dining Room with Karim Dining Room. Earlier in the show, I was talking about Andrew Francis Kay. He, of course, was the founder and CEO of the K-Pro Computer Company. Now, His chief competitor went out of business because he made a huge mistake. And what mistake did he make? And what is the name of that mistake?
That mistake became kind of legendary, and it has a name.
And it has a name, yes.
Okay. All right. So if you know the answer to that question, you need to call us right now. If you're calling from east of Akron, Ohio, it's 877-936-9333. From west of Vista, California, 877-936-9333. Everybody else, anywhere else, can call us on the wild card line, which is 877-936-9333. But I'm sure Dr. Shirts has other ideas,
too. And if you're calling in from Siberia,
you
can reach us using Skype. Simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and your call will be forwarded free of charge to the studio. And it, by the way, it will be encrypted. It's heavily encrypted when you use Skype.
Encrypted. And it's 877-936-9333.
That's right. Now let's talk about this deleting photos from the iCloud. I sort of went through that very quickly, but I think I should give it a little bit more detail because it's kind of sometimes hard to find where they are. Like if you go to iCloud.com and log on with your... you know, with your desktop computer, you'll see mail, contacts, you'll see all kinds of icons up there. You'll see a Find My Phone icon, but there's no place that says photos. So you don't even see photos if you log on to iCloud through the desktop. So here's how you can delete the iCloud photo. So if you got your iPhone, there's an application called Photos. Photos. And you want to open up Photos. Open up Photos, and then you can actually, when you open up Photos, you'll see two things there. You go down to the bottom once you open it up, and you'll see three tabs on the bottom. Click on Albums. Once you click on Albums, you'll see two particular albums. One album is called Camera Roll, and the other album is called My Photo Stream. Mm-hmm. Now, Camera Roll are the photos that are stored on your camera, on your iPhone. But My Photo Stream are actually... photos that are stored in the iCloud. And if you'll notice, your photo stream has more photos in it than your camera roll because you've deleted pictures from your camera roll. So you simply open up Photo Stream, and any pictures that you want to delete, just delete them from Photo Stream, and that will delete them from the iCloud. Now, if you want to delete more than one, you can hold down the select button, and then you can highlight a whole block of them and delete them at once. But be careful if you delete them from PhotoStream, they'll be deleted from all your other devices. So,
that was my question.
Yeah, see,
so it's gone off the phone if you take it off the stream.
No. If it's
gone
from all other devices.
Right. Okay.
All other devices. It's not going to change the photos and camera roll, but the photo stream might be on, say, your iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you delete it from photo stream, it won't be on your iPad anymore. So, and then to check if your photo's really gone, you can open up another device like your iPad and see whether they're there, and they should be gone. Now, if you just don't want to do any syncing at all, you want to turn off syncing or see whether you got syncing on, then what you want to do is you want to open up the settings section of your iPhone and then scroll down to iCloud and click on iCloud. And once you open up that, scroll down and you'll see something called Photos. If it says Photos is on, it means you're uploading stuff to My Photo Stream. You could turn off Photos and you don't do anything to iCloud.
Uh-huh.
So you could keep it all off the iCloud if you want.
But you could manually then push whatever you want up to the stream after that, right?
No. Once you turn it on, everything goes.
Okay, gotcha. So now I can do this from my iPad because you could do this from the iPad. So if I do it there instead of on my desktop, I've done the same thing, right?
So, no, if you turn it on, it means that you're not pushing from your iPad.
What I mean is if you go into the photo album on...
My Photo Stream. If you delete it from the iPad, you delete it everywhere.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
But if you turn on photos into under the iCloud on your iPad, that only affects your iPad.
What I'm getting at is if I go into Photos on the iPad and it shows you photo stream, you know, if I go in and delete the photos that I want off the stream from the iPad, it's the same as doing it from my
It is exactly the same because all photo streams are synchronized.
All right, gotcha. Doc, we do not have a winner yet, so let's ask the question one more
time. Okay, earlier in the show, we're talking about Andrew Kay, and of course, he was competing with, I'll tell you who he's competing with, was Mr. Osborne,
yes.
Osborne Computers. Osborne Computers went out of business, and they, because they made a huge mistake. What was the name of that mistake that they made?
Okay,
call us. It has kind of a nickname.
Call us now at 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333 for your chance to win the tickets for fine dining at Stratford University. This is Tech Talk Radio, Saturday morning, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn-by-doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I think we've got a winner over there.
We do, in fact. Let us take our first call here. This is going to be line one. We are currently talking to... Keith, I'm sorry. Calling from Alexandria, Virginia. Good morning, sir. How are you?
You?
Good, thanks. Very good. Dr. Schertz, the question,
yes,
please.
Yes, early in the show, we were talking about Andrew Francis Kay, and he was, of course, competing with Osborne Computers. What mistake did Osborne make? What's the name of that mistake that actually ended up putting them out of business?
It was called the Osborne Effect.
That is correct.
And, Doc, if you would please tell him what he has won.
You win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room or the Karem Dining Room. Just stay on the line and give your name to Andrew, and we'll get the tickets out to you next week.
Keith, thanks for listening.
Great.
And thank you for calling, sir. Hang on a second, and Andrew will be right with you. Okay, Doc, we may now press on.
Okay, so let's talk about rogue cell towers that could be intercepting your phone call.
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Now, rogue cell phone towers are showing up around the U.S., and these cell phone towers are forcing mobile devices to disable encryption, making it possible for someone to listen in on their phone call. In 2010, at the DEF CON conference in Las Vegas, security researcher Chris Padgett did something which was unthinkable at the time. He built a cell tower of his own so he could spoof legitimate towers and intercept calls. The device would mimic the type used by law enforcement officers to intercept phone calls. In this case, was able to build it for roughly $1,500. Padgett's device would only capture 2G GSM phone calls that were used. Those signals were used by carriers such as AT&T and T-Mobile. They weren't used by Verizon, which is CDMA. Now, Popular Science has reported a very similar type of tower that's been popping up all over the United States. There are dozens of these. The rogue interceptors do not identify themselves as a particular owned by a particular carrier, like the towers that are owned by carriers, and so the owner is really unknown. The problem is that the phone are not configured to alert the users if encryption is turned off by the rogue tower. So who is responsible for these interceptors? In one particular case, the tower was discovered at a casino in Las Vegas. So maybe they wanted to listen in on phone calls in case people were, you know, like making phone calls relating to the gambling.
You think the casinos might have been listing
it? The casino could have done that. Uh-huh. One had another one there. They had several of these rogue towers around military installations. So you don't know whether it's a spy group or whether it's the military trying to intercept phone calls.
Sure. So let's say the casino thing is valid. Think of how many different laws that violates, right?
I know. Well, does it violate a law?
Does it?
I don't know.
Don't these things have to be licensed to the FCC?
I think you're right. They have to be licensed by the FCC. So the FCC says they're investigating.
So basically they're receiving but not transmitting from these things, right?
So what people are thinking is that these towers are set up by NSA.
Really, you think so?
And it's a way to intercept phone calls,
sure,
and not have to go to the carrier.
Good
so
grief.
So actually people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So Snowden's release, he was inferring that there could be certain things like that. So the FCC is investigating. We'll see what they have to say about that.
Yeah. Right.
Now, Apple is uh-huh. dominating the shipping capacity out of China. This is mm-hmm. what they do. They lock up all the shipping for their supply chain management. They're shipping so many units for the upcoming devices that it's causing delays for other manufacturers. Now, Apple ships out of China using either FedEx or UPS, and those volumes are said to be incredibly high for the holiday quarter. And they're pointing to it that they point to the fact that Apple's planning for a massive number of devices. The company's flooding its channels with devices, causing shipments of other top-tier device makers to be delayed to make way for Apple products. One manufacturer was reportedly told by shippers that they couldn't meet some deadlines because they were booked by a very important customer. If Apple's displacing shipment from other manufacturers, its volume it wouldn't be the first time they did this. They like to do this many times before. Apple is producing between 60 and 70 million iPhones for sale in the fourth quarter of the year.
This is unimaginable.
Between 60 and 70 million iPhones. So they are just really ramping up this system. Now, what is the iPhone going to have? Now, we talked about with David about the near-field communication for credit card payments. That's probably the biggest impact this is going to have. But they are going for larger screens. If you remember, when the iPhone 5 came out, they increased the size from 3.5 inches to 4 inches. Now with the iPhone 6, they're going to take the 4-inch phone to a 4.7-inch screen, and they're going to come out with a brand new a large iPhone 6, which has a 5.5-inch screen.
Wow!
And that the 5.5-inch screen is designed to compete with some of the big screen Androids,
like the Samsung
and Samsungs and also the window phones.
You can't go too big because then they start competing with their own iPad.
Yeah, but this is not. Yeah, that's right. They can't go too big, but they're losing market share to Samsung mm-hmm. and also a little bit to Windows. So they were just forced to go to the bigger screen. There will be a sapphire crystal screen on some of the models, and there's going to also be a faster and more efficient A8 chip. It's a processor chip, which will process things a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's going to be a new operating system, iOS 8. So everybody's just waiting for this thing, but I'm not going to be one that's standing in line for this. I'll tell you, this time just goes so fast.
Incredibly fast.
Okay, we love your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu. We also like you to check out the Stratford University programs. Just go to the website, www.stratford.edu, and let them know that you heard about those programs on Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening today. If you missed part of the show, we'd like to hear it in its entirety. It'll replay at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. See you next week.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio on the air at 15. 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Coming up on Federal News Radio, we've got Washington Nationals baseball. Nats and the Phillies, game time 3 o'clock this afternoon with the pregame, and then first pitch is at 4. It's going to be hot today, highs mid-90s, maybe some thunderstorms outside now. It is going to be 82 at our studios in Northwest, 10 AM.
This paid commercial.